Chapter 19. The Search Begins. Saturday morning. Shortly after 6 a.m, Truman was woken by a telephone call. When he answered, an unfamiliar voice said, "Agent Truman." "Yeah?" said Truman sleepily. "This is Assistant Police Chief Ray Trimble," the man said. "Mark Sway is missing." "What do you mean?" Truman said, suddenly wide awake.
"He got sick last night and was taken by ambulance to the emergency room at St. Peter's Hospital," explained Trimble.
"Then he disappeared. Nobody knows when. It maybe happened 6 hours ago, but the hospital only reported it 5 minutes ago. We've already got people searching the hospital." "How could he leave so easily?" Truman asked angrily. "I guess everyone was too busy to see that he had gone," Trimble answered. "We haven't told his mother yet." "Good," said Truman. "It will be better if I tell her in person."
After phoning Foltrig and Fink with the news, Truman reported Mark's disappearance to the local FBI office. He was shocked to hear that Reggie had disappeared too. "And I was hoping for a relaxing weekend," he thought. At the hospital, about an hour later, Truman was upset to hear that Mark and Reggie hadn't been found. He then arranged for photos of the boy and Reggie to be faxed to police departments and FBI offices in neighbouring states. At 8 a.m, he knocked on Ricky's door. When Diane opened it, he said, "Mrs. Sway, I'm FBI agent Larry Truman."
"I recognise you from court yesterday," said Diane. "Is something wrong?"
"Your son has disappeared from the hospital," said Truman.
Diane walked into the corridor and closed the door behind her. She didn't want to wake Ricky. As Truman explained what had happened, Diane's eyes filled with tears, despite the fact that Mark had told her not to worry.
"Has Mark phoned you?" Truman asked.
"No,"
Diane lied.
"Have you spoken with Reggie Love this morning?" Truman asked.
"No," Diane said.
"She seems to have gone too," Truman said.
"I thought your agents were supposed to be watching her," Diane said. "There's a threat against her life."
"Our agents made a mistake," Truman admitted. "She left her house at about midnight, but they didn't realize quickly enough to follow her. If you know where..."
"I don't," Diane said angrily.
"Well, call me if you hear anything," Truman said.
"Sure," said Diane, "and I hope you'll do the same."
She went back into Ricky's room and closed the door, hoping that Mark and Reggie really were all right. After talking to Diane, Truman got permission from the hospital to tap the phone in Ricky's room. An FBI agent was assigned to listen to the phone calls to and from Ricky's room. Shortly after 9 a.m, Clint called Diane to tell her that Reggie had gone to get Mark the previous night. He said that he would call again when he knew more. Then he turned on the local TV news, which was already reporting Mark's disappearance. When his phone rang half an hour later, Clint was happy to hear Reggie's voice.
"Where are you?" he asked.
"Mark's disappearance has already been on the news."
"We're in a motel in New Orleans, registered under false names," said Reggie.
"What are you doing there?" Clint asked in surprise.
"I'll explain later," said Reggie, "but please let Diane know where we are and tell her that Mark is fine."
"Reggie," Clint said, but he heard only a dial tone.
At about 9:15 a.m., Maldano got a call from Memphis.
"The kid's disappeared," Pirini said. "It was just on the news."
Worried that Mark might already be talking to the FBI, Maldano said,
"Forget about the lawyer. I've got a job for you here in New Orleans."
Shortly after 9:30 a.m., the FBI agent contacted Truman. "The kid and the lawyer are in New Orleans," he said. Truman wondered what they were doing there. He returned to the hotel and told Fink and Faltrig the news.
"I think we'd better fly to New Orleans immediately," Faltrig said.